is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today here at Bible Home Church, and we have an information-packed program that comes right from the Word of God. You know, this is going to be the very last in a series of exciting messages on numbers in the Bible, biblical mathematics, amazing supernatural power of numbers in the Bible. You know, the devil has his plan too, of course. It's pretty puny compared to God's. And as far as the devil is concerned, everything is mathematical. He was up in heaven with God, who knows how many eons of years, and he knew about God's great mathematical ability, his computations, his creation of the world through the power of the spoken word. And even in that, somehow I'm sure that there are involved mathematics in the spoken word and in the light. You know, God created the world, and in doing so, he divided the darkness from the light. Somehow he even used mathematics to do that. I'll tell you, friends, if you knew all of mathematics, you would be God, and that's why you'll never know all of the math that God knows. No matter how many years you attend getting your PhD and doctoral work in mathematics, it won't be anything like God has. You know, it's only been in our generation that people discovered DNA sequencing. Many people say that those are the building blocks of the universe, and everyone's DNA is different. Isn't it amazing then that God unlocked the secrets and the mysteries of the universe through DNA with mathematical computations of an exact nature, so that all people now living on the face of the earth have their own exact perfect DNA sequence? That in itself should make you understand there is a God who created the universe. There's no computer that can keep up with 6 billion DNA sequences, although they're now establishing databanks around the world. They want everyone's DNA codes in them so that they can track us down in case of crimes and all of that, and know who committed these crimes because of the DNA. So, we're way behind God on these things, though, because that's how he created life. Some say that if you understood everything there is to know about DNA, you would become a creator of worlds. You probably would. And that's always been man's intention, to become as gods. And that's the seduction in the very Garden of Eden. Eat of this forbidden fruit, and ye shall be as gods. You'll know between good and evil. You can judge for yourself. And men want to create life with cloning and such, and you need math to do that. And they want to send craft into space, but you need exact specific mathematical computations to do that. Doesn't it make sense then that God would write the Bible and cause to have the Bible written in an exactly perfect mathematical way? And if you try to rearrange the verses in the Bible and change the words, as do the New Version people, you would destroy, or attempt to destroy, I should say, God's perfect word. He's got everything arranged by scripture and verse and word and, I believe, even letter. You know, I was talking to Dr. Gail Ripplinger, who wrote the book New Age Bible Versions, and also the book The Amazing Language of the King James Bible. And she said to me, yes, I believe there are hidden codes in the Bible. But the Jewish rabbis, I want you to know now, this is my opinion, but I believe it, will never be able to figure out those codes. They've been working on their Kabbalah and their secret numbering systems for over 1,000 years, and they've tried to figuring out the codes in the Holy Bible, the hidden codes. You know, there was even a book by Mr. Michael Drosnin some years ago. He thought he had discovered some of those hidden codes that could reveal, unravel the future before it occurred through these codes. But, of course, the Bible says the natural man, that is the unsaved man, does not receive the things of God. And I think this is going to just be a confusing, arduous, wasteful task by these rabbis and people like Mr. Drosnin, who cannot possibly understand the hidden things of God. They can't even understand the surface things of God. They just the plain words of the Bible, let alone something hidden within those words mathematically. But Miss Ripplinger said to me, you know, Tex, I wonder where it talks in the Bible about men's and women's names being written down in the book of life. I wonder if the book of life has already been written. It's written and it's in the Holy Bible. I thought about that. Could your name, my friend, whether it's John or Sally or Tom or Jason or Kimberly or Sandra or Wanda, could it be that your name already is written down in the book of life? You say, well, I wasn't born when the Bible was written. But wait, God chose you either for heaven or hell before the foundation of the world. Oh, if he chose you before you were ever born, why could he have not put your name in that hidden book, some kind of a hidden code in the Bible? What an astounding and staggering thought. Your name could be written down in the book of life, and it could be contained somehow within the very 66 books of the Holy Bible. Your name, the book of life, hidden there for all of history to be revealed on the day of judgment, the day you die, or Jesus comes again. Now listen to me very carefully, though. You know, it says in the Bible that if you change, if you attempt to change any of the scriptures in this Bible, either take out or add to, it says that God will take your name out of the book of life. He'll blot out your name. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said he came not to judge, because men judge themselves. Do you judge yourself worthy of heaven or hell? It could be, listen to me very carefully, that the people, the men who are changing the Holy Bible and stripping out entire verses and passages from the Bible in these new satanic Bible versions, I call them. Could it be that these men and the men and women who buy, acquire, and heed those Bibles rather than God's Word, the King James Bible, could it be that those people into the new versions have Bibles and are following Bibles in their possession in which the passages have been taken out that previously contained their names? You see what I'm saying? God put their name down in the book of life. But because they agreed to, and you acquiesce in it, my friend, you say, well, I wasn't the translator for the NIV or the RSV or the ASV or the New Living Translation or the Good News for Modern Man or the English Standard Version or this or all these trash versions. I wasn't the person who did that. I didn't print them. Do you have a copy of it? Is it the Bible you use? Is it the Bible they use in your churches? Do you go to a church where they use false Bibles? Then you are part of it. You're an accomplice. And it could be that the Bible of the person sitting next to you or the pastor up at the pulpit reads from is a Bible in which your name and his name and the name of every person in the pew in that church has been blotted out by God. Because you see, some places you won't find Mark 16. At all. The whole chapter has been blotted out. I wonder if the name of the pastors and the translators who went along with that, if their names were in Mark 16, somewhere hidden, coded by God, within the very letters and the punctuation. Oh, my. Think about that. And then they get on Judgment Day, they say, why do I deserve to go to hell? And God says, well, you yourself judged yourself fit for hell, a vessel for destruction. How did I do that, Lord? You yourself blotted out your name from the Holy Book, in that you chose a Bible wherein your name had been removed. You are your own judge. Would not that be a shock? Well, we have some beautiful music today. I hope we have time to finish the whole sermon today, because I got all wound up there. And write to us with your prayer needs. And if you can afford to, we need your financial help, but I'm not going to beg you for it. Just let you know about that opportunity for you to serve God through helping us with the ministry here as it goes around the world. Now, the Rambos have a beautiful song, For What Earthly Reason? And then right after that, we're going to have our concluding message today on the amazing numbers in the Bible. God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
And so Israel does just have one God. Well, these things are so very fascinating when you look at the power of the Bible. We can go to the number 5. Here's another good one. Did you know 5? They say that it's the number of grace. But I sort of like the fact that it's a powerful number. Let me give you some reasoning behind this. You see, 5 smooth stones were chosen by David when he went to meet the giant, Goliath. 5 smooth stones, not rough, but 5 smooth stones were used. You know, I'm convinced that those 5 stones, what that meant was he was recognizing that God has this number 5, and that he was weak in himself, but with this powerful numerical combination of 5, well, the Holy Spirit just led David to victory there, didn't he? Now, he could have chosen 6 stones, or 4 stones, or 3 stones. He could have said, you know, I need a rough stone. That can really do damage with this rough edges. 5 smooth stones. There is a measure of perfection there, isn't there? And there's a crossover between 7 and 5 as a number. Well, I like the other another verse in Leviticus 26, verse 8. It has to do with the promise. 5 of you shall chase 1,000, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Oh, when the devil's agents are encompassed about you, my friend, and you say, I've got 1,000 enemies. Well, go out and get 4 Christian friends. That's right. 5 of you shall chase 1,000. Now, if you really want to do some damage to Satan's kingdom, well, get 99 others. That's 100. And you'll put 10,000 to flight. I like that. 5 of us as Christians, because we have the Holy Spirit, can chase 1,000. And 100 can put 10,000 to flight. A lot of people worry about that. Oh, we're so few. Oh, Big Brother government is so powerful. What are we to do? Woe is us. Don't worry. You just need 5. In fact, 2 of you, we go back to the witness now of the 2, where 2 or more are gathered in my name, there shall I be, said Jesus Christ. 2 are a witness to God, and Jesus will be with you. There again is power in the number of witness, which is 2. Well, you know, when you want to communicate the gospel of God, here again we come to the number 5. The power of the number 5. I had rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, said the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Imagine that. You know, I one time went to a big charismatic conference to be a speaker. I walked to the back of the auditorium just before I was to go on stage. The guy before me had the people speaking in tongues. Well, I don't know what they were doing, but they certainly were not in order like the Apostle Paul said. There were 800 to 1,200 people in that auditorium, and they were all speaking in tongues at once. And it was like a babble just throughout the entire auditorium. Totally out of order, totally opposite what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm just trying to say you've got to do it the biblical way. And here was the Apostle Paul saying, I had rather speak 5 words with the understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And it's a sad fact that many full gospel people believe they're better. They say, well, I'm more godly, I'm more spiritual because I speak in tongues. But Paul said, I'd rather speak 5. 5. Just 5 words that somebody can understand than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. You see, if you speak an unknown tongue, well, God can understand you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. But if you want to edify the whole church, then just use plain language. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And you know, I couldn't make out anything what those people were saying when I went into that auditorium. It was Babel. It was a rebuilding of a Tower of Babel in terms of communication. But if one had spoken and there had been an interpreter, that could have made a gigantic difference, could it not? And if one had spoken in a known tongue, just five words, it would have been better, said the Apostle Paul, than to have a lack of order and control in the church. Well, these are some wonderful numbers, but wait, there are some numbers that may not be so wholesome and good. The number four is a number that means taking in the world. The world and its inducements and enticements. You know, God speaks of the four directions, the four ends of the earth, the four winds. The nations. The word four. Organization of the world. And then, of course, we have the number six. God created man on the sixth day. And ever since, that's been man's number. And the Bible says in Revelation 13, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. You know, I think there could be an incredible discovery in numbers even in the Bible. In terms of the construction of the Bible. Let me take you to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66. And we read, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's right. Jesus offended so many. By the way, verse 67 says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, verse 69, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now here we have something mighty. Verse 66, chapter 6. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. My friends, I believe that number is significant. That's what the Antichrist will be. He will speak like a lamb. We read in Revelation 13. But have horns. He'll be evil, but he'll speak. I think he'll be a Christian. He'll claim he's a born-again Christian. Maybe that's what John 6, verse 66 is all about.
The number 666 is a very fascinating number. Of course, as I said, it's revealed in Revelation 13 as the number of the beast. You know, that John 6, verse 66 is very interesting, talking about those who departed from Jesus Christ. You know, Isaiah 66, verse 6 is quite interesting. It talks about the Lord repaying his enemies. The wrath of the Lord coming down on his enemies. That's Isaiah chapter 66, verse 6. And then, you know, Revelation, we find out in Revelation 12-4 that two-thirds of the people on earth eventually will perish. Well, of course, mathematically, two-thirds would be, what, 66.666666666 on into infinity percent. So there we have the 666, do we not? And so all of these things, I think, are very, very interesting about numbers. My friend David Meyer, pastor up in Wisconsin, has written a lot about this area because before he became a Christian, he was an occult astrologer. And even the occult world uses numbers, as you know, very significantly. For example, he mentioned in his October 2001 newsletter the number 11. Remember, the World Trade Center disaster occurred on September 11th. And number 11, of course, is the 11th sign of the zodiac, which is the age of Aquarius, the dawning of the new age. The towers of the World Trade Center stood out like a giant number 11. The event took place on the 11th day of the 9th month, or 9/11. It was the 254th day of the year, September 11th. 2 plus 5 plus 4 equals 11. The words New York City happen to have 11 letters. The word Afghanistan has 11 letters. New York was the 11th state to join the Union. Flight 11 was the first plane to hit the tower. We could go on and on with incredible coincidences in numbers. Well, this is Tex Mars. We've had a great series on numbers in the Bible. The devil has his number, but, you know, God is so much more powerful, and don't ever forget that.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.